Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the heart and the head. Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. With heart and head aligned, the healing force can flow with power through you to others. Is it better to be heart-centered than to be someone who lives in his head?
I don't think one should have to make a choice. And in fact, I dislike the idea that some people quantify or qualify other people as being heart-centered people or people who are living in their head. It's the same kind of thing as labeling people who are right-brained or left-brained. I think we're supposed to use all of our brain. And doesn't science say we only use about 10%? So why are we trying to separate people into right or left brain categories when we only use 10% of our brain to begin with? And something similar applies to those we identify as heart-centered and those as head-centered, as if people who live in their head are not as alive and human. In the ageless wisdom, both the head and the heart are needed. And they are both part of the spiritual path that we all tread. The path of the heart is called the mystical way, and it's the path of union. Many very religious people are familiar with the path of the heart, because it's the seeking of union with God, with the other, with whatever source of divinity we recognize. The emphasis is on God transcendent, divinity or God being beyond us, apart from us, above us. The path of the head is the path of spiritual development through the mind, through the opening up of the mind, as we talked about in our last program. The Eastern Hindu faith has rich teaching on the use of the mind through the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali and the practice of meditation. So we should live in both the head and the heart, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, it's finding the balance between the two and using both of them, and those people that do seem to be more in the head, let's say, probably also have an open heart too. But their concern, for whatever their reason, that's just their way of expressing themselves in this particular lifetime. But because the way of the mind is through the heart. The heart must come. The development of the heart precedes the head development, and I think the development of the heart is already pretty much accomplished for those who seem to be just living in their head.
Alice Bailey says that the relationship of the head and the heart is essentially the relationship of will and love. Will, in this sense, being the spiritual will. And the heart being the capacity for love, that's very interesting to explore, because the head is the spiritual gate to purpose, to divine purpose, to direction. I think a good symbol for it is the headlamp that miners wear. If you picture them with that light shining upon their way when they're deep in the mine shaft, that's a good image for the developed head. The mind is light, and it gives direction and awakens a sense of purpose. It doesn't reveal the end from the beginning. We progress step by step without always knowing exactly where we're headed. We can only take the next step ahead. But the Buddha said, be a lamp unto your own feet. Work out your salvation with diligence. He was saying to us, awaken the will, live in the head, use detachment, and use your mind, and you will light, you will cast light upon your way.
Right. The heart opens and reveals the love of God, and through meditation and unfoldment eventually takes place within the head. So there is a linkage there, and the two work together.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a question of one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
There is a linking, and we have to remember in the esoteric traditions also that within the head center, the great center of the head, there is a correspondence to all the other centers, so that even within the head there is a corresponding center that's related to the heart center. I don't know if you can follow that, but if you understand something of the chakra system, then there is this relationship already established between the head and the heart.
Talking about the heart's an interesting subject, because there's one of my favorite passages from the books of Alice Bailey that explains what the heart is. It's not the warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely approach of the emotional and well-intentioned and warm-hearted individuals who are so familiar to us. That's not the heart-centered person in the sense of the ageless wisdom. She wrote, Alice Bailey wrote, that only from the heart center can stream those lines of energy which link and bind together. So the heart center is a center of unification. She said that the heart center builds relationships and also subtle communication, the kind of heart-to-heart communion that enables us to sense what another is thinking, feeling, without words being necessary, without a declarative statement being required. One just innately, intuitively knows what their need is, what their orientation is. This capacity to function through the heart in this way, Alice Bailey said, is one who will then become a channel of light for the ego and for the illumination of the soul to pour through for the saving of the race and the lighting of those who stumble in dark places. What a wonderful thought, to be one who is able to cast light and illumine the way for those who stumble in the dark places. That's a function of the heart.
Right. I think too often we may mistake the heart as being some emotional feeling that is very heartfelt, perhaps, but is really more in the nature coming from the solar plexus, and it's more related to feeling and to emotional feeling, but that isn't really the true heart quality, because the true heart has to do with the not self. It comes by way of the little self standing aside and becoming, allowing that selfless nature of the soul to come through. And that's where the love, the true love of God comes through, in the selfless acts and the selfless outward going of one's energies towards another. And I think that's where the real heart qualities begin to manifest.
Another quality of the heart, according to Alice Bailey, is radioactivity. I like that thought, that the awakened heart of a human being is radioactive. She says such a one must demonstrate laws of radioactivity in his own life. His life must begin to radiate and have a magnetic effect upon others. And she said, by this I mean he will begin to influence that which is imprisoned in others, because he will reach the hidden center in each one. He will reach that which is imprisoned in others. Again, what a wonderful thought, to be able to serve our fellow human beings in such a way, to evoke, to bring out of them that which is imprisoned and awaiting expression. She followed up by saying, I don't mean the magnetic effect that some people have, you know, the very charismatic, magnetic personalities that are often found in celebrities and some very powerful figures on the public stage. It's not that kind of magnetism. She said, I refer to that spiritual radiation that is only recognized and responded to by those who are themselves awakening their heart. In other words, their heart is opening up enough to recognize their unity with all people, and they evoke that shared sense of unity from others. And so such a person becomes a stimulator of the heart center in his fellow men.
Right, and I think that's what other people respond to. They respond through their own heart center, that when that same response is coming from another person. It's a synchronization of heart qualities, and that's why there is such a reaching out towards each other. And I think that's the true heart quality, because it synchronizes with the same quality and can stimulate and awaken that same heart quality in another person.
That is probably a quality that Mother Teresa had, because so many people who were in her presence responded to her on such an open and uninhibited level. And I'm thinking on perhaps a lower level, wasn't it Will Rogers, the comedian, of whom it was said he never met a man he didn't like? He was a friend to everyone.
Right.
Yeah, he never met a man he didn't like.
Yeah.
That's someone who must have had a very open heart and who didn't have to go through the usual leaping over the barrier that most people feel with strangers, that there's some kind of barrier that has to be overcome. He just automatically connected with people. Those who have that gift are heart-centered people. We also, to remind everybody, need the head, that which gives purpose and direction and enables us to be the directors of our life. Maybe we need to focus on that a bit more after the break.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, the heart and the head. We thank you for the support you've given us in the past, and at this point, we're not keeping ahead of our ability to pay for these shows. And I think the one saving factor might be if there is an underwriter out there who is willing to talk with us about the possibility of underwriting the show. There might be a corporation, or it might be a very wealthy person. Of course, we would mention the name of the donor in every show, but that's the only force that we can see that could actually keep us on the air at this point. So in spite of whatever happens, we certainly thank you for listening to our show and for your past support. Your donations have kept us on this long, and it's been quite a long run, really. We've done many shows, and if there is an underwriter out there, a potential underwriter, and please give us a call or let us know that you're interested in underwriting this show. And send your those people who are able to donate, by the way, or if an underwriter would like to send us a letter, Lucis Trust. The address is Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that's donations can be sent, or any letter expressing interest in being an underwriter can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Lucis is spelled L-U-C-I-S. There are a lot of details that can be discovered by keying into the Lucis Trust website. For one thing, all of our Intersight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org, and there are so much information other than the listening to the archived library of radio shows that we have. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. If you'd like to reach us and get in contact with us for some general information about Lucis Trust, give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. And by the way, you can also purchase any of the Alice Bailey books that you've heard mentioned on these shows. Most people start with the autobiography of Alice Bailey, or the book that's an overview of all 24 books of esoteric philosophy written by Alice Bailey. So you can call up, or you can send a letter to us and let us know that you're interested in any of the Alice Bailey books. I was thinking that if someone who was a novice on the spiritual path, and by the way, there are many people on a spiritual path who listen to this show, they're all part of our audience, how would you instruct the novice as to how to develop the heart and the head as a means of reaching a higher level of divinity within themselves?
One way would be, as Dale said, to get outside of oneself more, to be more selfless in one's approach to the world, to relationships, to others. It's the separated self can be a barrier toward against achieving relationship, and the heart is the center for unity, for unification, for building bridges and links with others. And the more one gets outside of oneself, the more one awakens the heart. The head, the more we realize that we are in charge of our lives and that the unfolding of our life is within our control, the more we live within the head, because we do have the capacity to be the directors of our life, particularly in a spiritual sense.
Yes, and if you realize that as the heart opens, it, well, let's put it this way, the easiest way or the surest way or the safest way to open the heart center, in fact, in any of the centers, is by way of service. That's one word, perhaps, that you should always keep in mind, because outward service towards others directs your energies away from yourself, and that is the surest way of overcoming all these tendencies to focus entirely on yourself. And if you're attracted by the idea of service of some kind, then that is an ideal way to begin the process of opening the heart center. And as the center opens, gradually you will find that your quality of life, the way you think, as your head begins to operate and take control, that you will find a softer quality or a more service-oriented quality creeping into your everyday life, and your values may change in very subtle ways. It doesn't happen overnight, but you have to be aware of these little changes that take place within yourself, And that's when the heart begins to awaken, and you can sense it by these subtle changes in qualities and values.
The heart can awaken through silence, through the ability to really listen to others, to listen to what's going on in humanity. We spend so much time talking, and a lot of people associate the heart with a heart-to-heart talk. When you have a problem in a relationship with someone, sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk. It's more like a solar plexus to solar plexus conversation, where feelings are dredged up and shared, and the conversation ends when both people are satisfied that their essential reaction was justified and right, and some kind of consensus is achieved between the two of them. Sometimes more helpful is to just remain silent and really try to hear what is behind another person's actions or words or thoughts. One of our coworkers recently, I thought, gave an example of that. He was a volunteer fireman who showed up to in an emergency in his community. Another volunteer fireman flew into a rage over something that this coworker did. I don't know what it was, but there was probably a lot of excitement and tension, and the other volunteer fireman flew into a rage and really lit into him and told him off. And the coworker told how, to his own amazement, he simply stayed silent and listened to the man. And when the raging volunteer was done, the coworker said, "Well, I guess you're right. I'm sorry." And it so stunned the angry man that later on he came to him and apologized. And the coworker said, "Oh, it's all right. I've already forgotten it." And he noticed how grateful the man was to him for simply being forgiven, that it was just forgotten. And I think probably the coworker knew somehow in some level, even when he was being yelled at, that behind those angry words was a human being having a bad moment, and the silence allowed it to pass. And I think if we could all remember to keep our heads when we're in the midst of such situations, it's difficult, but the loving forgiveness of silence and acceptance is a reaction of the heart.
Right, and it's the voice of the silence, you might say. Mm-hmm. That's that note of the heart that comes through, and that's often the term that is used, the voice of the silence. It's the silent note of the soul coming through, and that's what's really in control, takes control at that moment of the decisions in that person's life. So it's a very powerful, a very powerful silence, and that's the great power of silence sometimes.
There's an ancient book of rules that is quoted in one of Alice Bailey's books that touches on this silent power of the heart. This rule says, "Enter thy brother's heart and see his woe, then speak. Let the words spoken convey to him the potent force he needs to loose his chains, yet loose them not thyself. Thine is the work to speak with understanding. The force received by him will aid him in his work." We can't solve problems for others, and nobody can solve our problems for us. We can only give them understanding and the conviction that they have the power to resolve their difficulties. That can be very strengthening.
Right, and you have to remember too that the heart is the magnetic power of the heart draws up the energy of the solar plexus. And probably in that example you gave, that the magnetic power of that silence was enough to lift the anger from the solar plexus area of that man who was angry, and he suddenly realized what he had said, and he was sorry. And that was kind of probably an example of the energy of the solar plexus being pulled up towards the heart, because the heart, that's the function of the heart, is to resolve the all the lower unredeemed energies of the solar plexus and the energies of the lower centers.
It's a form of transmutation, isn't it? A kind of purifying mechanism.
So the heart is a great releasing, its lifting power to the to the love of the heart. Mm-hmm. It's the energy of the soul, actually, that provides the magnetic lifting pull.
I don't know whether we've said enough about the head today, but one final thought on the head is its role in being the director. And we're told by Alice Bailey that because energy follows thought, visualization is a first step in using the head to direct the outcome of one's life. You begin with a pictorial visualization of the desired end, and that gradually draws energy to it and provides a kind of a galvanization that then mobilizes enough energies for the vision to be achieved. If we develop this more in our lives, we might attain the goals we want, and we might become more and more aware of the soul's agenda, the soul's purpose, which is really why we're here.
Well, absolutely. And it's the soul that is acting upon our lower self all the time, and it's providing the uplifting power and the magnetic power. And I think we see it all around us all the time. We may not realize that's what's happening because there's so much going on our inner bodies and our subtle bodies working through the centers and the heart center and the head center and all the other centers. This energy is circulating and flowing, and it affects everything that we think and do and say in the outer world. But we're just not always conscious of the source of these great energies. But they're there, and they're working on us all the time.
We're at the latter point of our latest brief contract, and it doesn't look like we may be able to continue, but I think what might save the day is if we could have an underwriter who would underwrite the entire show, and there would be benefits to doing that. So at this point, a little bit of information for you. If you want general information about Lucid's Trust and the works of Alice Bailey, call 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. Or the easy way, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.